What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles, according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
Evening, buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. I just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
D&M Leasing Studios, you're rolling with the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, baby, an hour and a half until Texas Rangers pregame right here on 105.3 The Fan. It is indeed hour number four of the G-Bag Nation. Zach Wolchuk, Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broaddus. We've got Lucius Alexander back in match control. Austin Nix, the doors are open here as we're live at the Comerica backyard. And joining us now, the one and only, the very sexy, Jared Sandler. Jared, how the hell are you?
I'm good, guys. A little under the weather, but hopefully Eric gets a lot of the action tonight, so my raspy-ass voice doesn't have to be behind some of those highlights.
So is Hixie taking some time off?
Hixie's also under the weather.
Okay. So this is kind of going around the booth.
I guess so, yeah.
Is Dave okay?
As far as I know, Dave's okay.
Mike's good?
Mike is here. Mike is good.
Mike's got a great immune system. He always bragged about that.
I know he was probably ticked off about last night's result.
Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm disappointed in Mike. He had a little stretch there where he was showing some interest in soccer. And I understand if you don't want to keep up with the day-to-day grind of, or the week-to-week grind of, you know, I think he was a Man City fan briefly of the Premier League. But, I mean, the World Cup's like a...
It's a huge deal.
Yeah, he like... Kind of poo-pooed the whole, whatever.
He pulled
the Barbie
belt?
He cared about it as much as Pulisic did.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. But, you know, on the plane, we've had some matches on. He'll, you know, who's winning or what happened. He'll have some interest. But I'm sure he watched last night. I haven't spoken to him. I'm sure he watched last night. And, you know, if he watched, he definitely has some strong takes about it because that's... You know,
oh, he's going to have a take.
Yeah.
And we love him about it. Yeah. Switzerland-Colombia, by the way, in extra time, still scoreless, 0-0. Winner taking on Argentina, who had an incredible comeback victory earlier. Before we do get into the Rangers, you are probably one of the big-time soccer lovers that we get to talk to. Obviously, avid Tottenham fan. Harry Kane's your guy. England's still going on. What a match against Mexico.
Yeah, that was amazing.
But what did you think about last night? And you reflect back at the World Cup for Team USA as a whole.
Yeah, disappointing. So it was a fun run. You know, it always is. I mean, I don't think it's fair to act like it was a major failure of a tournament when the U.S. has barely ever won a knockout round match to begin with. Now, you could say, well, this is a little less impressive because of the expanded field. But again, the U.S. doesn't always even make it. Heck, they don't even qualify for the World Cup every 4 years. We had that 8 years ago, right? And they don't. But... last night was incredibly disappointing. They won every match they should have won. And I had some people clap back on Twitter last night, oh, Paraguay. I mean, they're fine. There's nothing. the U.S. was favored against Paraguay. They were supposed to win that match. They were supposed to win their group. That was an easy group. They were supposed to beat Bosnia. And then when they face a good European country, and I say good, not great, right? Belgium, and credit to Belgium, but this is not the Belgium of 8 years ago, the golden era of that group with Lukaku and De Bruyne. It's a good team. And they looked so outclassed. They looked like, I said to someone, like, it was like Belgium was playing at 1.3 speed.
Yeah.
And then when the U.S. had the ball in space, which was plenty of times, it was almost like they panicked or they, I mean, there's so many turnovers, so many giveaways. It's one thing when you're constantly getting pressured, but it's another thing when you have a horrible first touch with time, or you get skittish with time. And we didn't see that from the U.S. You know, earlier in the tournament. And that Paraguay match was probably the best they've looked in a long time. And they were so comfortable and good in space. And then, you know, I tweeted this before he got hurt, but kind of waiting for the Christian Pulisic moment. And you Zach, have had some strong thoughts about him. Some people will tell you Alexi Lalas is maybe the most overrated player to ever play
that's
for
fair.
The U.S.
Hey, that's fine. But were you ever deeming him as, like, the greatest?
Yeah.
That's the thing. I'm looking at him from a different lens here.
He definitely, I'll say this. It's tough to quantify how overrated someone is compared to another, but it was a very disappointing tournament. And I understand that there were injuries a part of it leading up with the cap and whatnot, but at the end of the day, you know, he really wasn't much of a factor against Bosnia, and he was a total non-factor yesterday. And so, yeah, I mean, for a guy who, like, if you think about the top sides in this tournament, England, they've been carried by their best, Harry Kane.
Yep.
What happened today with Argentina? Who scores the game-tying goal?
Yep.
Messi, and how good has he been all tournament? You know, you look at, you know, the France, Mbappe's been amazing. I mean, Norway, Holland, like, yep, the best players have to rise to the occasion here. And unfortunately, we just didn't see that from Christian Pulisic this tournament.
Would you have rather have seen Flo not play last night? And just and seeing how the country would respond, or how the team would have responded to that.
So,
I mean, could that been a okay? They lose 3-2, but
like, for,
you know,
Belgium seemed like they got a little bit of.
It seems,
I mean,
like,
that,
to me,
juice
it's like
that.
It was just the way it all went down.
So we just almost had, and it didn't end up happening, but we just almost had a quarterback who had no business playing college football play for Texas Tech this year, right? Like,
sure.
I mean, there were. And Texas Tech was going to do it because at the end of the day, Joey McGuire's job is to win.
Right.
Flo, I mean, he was maybe their best player all tournament.
Sure.
You could say Malik Tillman, perhaps.
Tillman, yeah.
And I thought Tillman was awesome last night.
Yeah, he was their best player.
Yeah, Tillman was really good last night. I thought Robinson had some moments. But and I thought Flo was good. They did such a poor job of controlling possession.
Yeah.
That they didn't give him, I mean, you know, he's in a position where it's tough for him.
They didn't support him well enough.
It's tough for him to make an impact with the way they turned the ball over last night, right? It's tough. My only frustration is it's just a weird look when the president, and this has nothing to do with any political stance.
Not political at all, yeah.
The president gets involved and now, like, wants to take all this credit. Hey, if Donald Trump wants to make a call, because, listen, this is a country event. Yeah. Make a call. But it doesn't need to be a... Donald Trump wanted that out there, that he was a part of it, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be out there like that. Just do it. You know, overturn it. And I don't think it would have had... For the people who took it as, oh, here's the U.S. just doing what they think they can just do whatever.
You bully everybody.
If FIFA came out and said, hey, we've overturned it based on Article 27, VAR protocols were not followed, this is why we're doing it, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And it's, I thought it was unfair to Flo, too. I think it puts him in a really tough spot, unfortunately. But, no, I think you got to, I mean, if he's eligible, you got to play him. I want to win. I don't care. The U.S. is not good enough.
I'm a win-at-all-cost guy myself.
Yeah. I don't know if
but
it inspired
if team,
Belgium anymore.
Yeah.
I just kind of think Belgium, I mean, they were better. I don't know. Broadus, I don't know that I hate to say this. I don't know that they're good enough against that competition.
No, and you might be right. The thing that gave me hope about U.S. soccer that we hadn't seen in the past was when they went down 10 men and had to just play. And there's been times where this country has just folded. Any type of adversity just folded.
And did last night, right?
I mean, listen,
the goal, and again, credit Malik Tillman. I thought he played outstanding, you know, aside from the goal.
Right.
The goal, I mean, he did a nice job of putting the ball in a position to have an impact, but it was deflected off of one of the players on the wall. The guy who scored the third goal, I can't remember his name, but came on early on. The U.S. really didn't generate a whole lot.
No.
The Matt Freeze play was just...
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, that just can't happen. Ugh. You know, that looked... Like, listen, the U.S. would have lost playing competitively, tough match, good chances, like, whatever. You know, Belgium's better. U.S. maybe had a slight advantage being on U.S. soil, but obviously it didn't play out that way. But that's, like, the type of play that's, like, that's U.S. soccer.
Right.
You know, like, people... Yeah. I hate to say it, but that's what people think about.
That's the lasting image of this tournament.
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's unfortunate.
What do you think about these Angels coming in? Great pitching matchup tonight with Soriano and DeGrom. It's weird because now I'm nervous. The Angels are the worst team right now in the American League West record-wise, and for whatever reason, the Rangers are struggling against teams below 500.
Yeah, and the Angels, for whatever reason, have been good against the AL West. They have a winning record against the AL West. Jose Soriano, I think, is a very, very good pitcher. He has tapered off a little bit here recently. You know, it was like, man, this guy might win a Cy Young. Now he's not an all-star, but he's still really good. And, you know, he throws a power sinker. The Rangers did well against Framber Valdez the other day. You know, he's a lefty. Soriano's a righty. But, you know, that power sinker's a lethal pitch. The Rangers have had some problems with him in the past. When they've had success, you know, they've done a nice job waiting him out. So we'll see. No Mike Trout, but Zach Neto is basically like Mike Trout whenever he plays the Rangers. So, got to contend with him. And you know, hopefully Jacob DeGrom, who, you know, the Angels did a great job against DeGrom last year.
He struggled in Anaheim.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But Jacob's been really, really good this year. And, you know, once he gets past the first inning, he's been, you know, untouchable. That first inning has been a weird bugaboo for him, and hopefully puts up a donut in the first, and, you know, the Rangers can get some runs.
Is there anything to explain that first inning stuff? Like, is it just weird and random? Because I feel like if they knew, they would fix it.
Yeah, no, weird and random for now. You know, like with Kamar Rocker, maybe that's weird and random, but you could also, hey, young guy having a tough time getting into a groove, and when it was specific to, you know, him on the road, although that Twins game at home, the first inning, no bueno. But on the road, you can talk about, well, you know, he can't time out his first pitch because he goes after the Rangers hit. That could be 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes. You know, maybe there's some level of over warming up or not, you know, whatever. At home, it's tougher to explain. With DeGrom, he just doesn't have the track record of this. I mean, other than the general idea of, hey, if you're going to get to a stud, you get to them early. Which does seem to have some merit to it, but he's, you know, first inning struggles to this degree. I don't know how to explain that. I'll say in general, the fastball, you know, has been hit a little bit more than what, you know, he's used to. But, you know, the fastball was really, really good in his last start, and it still has the potential because of his command to be a dominant pitch. It just hadn't been, but last start was really encouraging.
No JJ in the lineup. Yeah. Do we have any update there?
Yeah, fouled a ball off his knee Saturday, right? Because he didn't play Sunday. Yeah. And I guess, you know, not at a point where they're ready to get him out there. I know he was doing some work before the game.
Yeah, I think we saw him out there. Was he wearing a brace?
Yeah,
on
I think it was like a sleeve.
Yeah, like a sleeve, yeah.
But, you know, no IL move. Hopefully he'll be ready to go, you know, if not tomorrow, the next day.
And then did we get positive news from Langford? I think it was Jeff Wilson who put out, Langford's trying to get back before the break.
Yeah.
Will the team just say, like, nah, dude, we just wait?
Well, it's weird how this stuff works out because you got Houston, and if you beat Houston Friday, maybe, all right, hey, let's wait. If you lose to Houston Friday, maybe you know, even if you took two or three from the these are human beings making decisions,
yeah,
right? But, yes, I think, you know, Wyatt getting out there, running, using his lower half, I know he's been swinging the bat. You know, that's progressing well. It's a hamstring. It's not the first time he's had it in his career. So I think you got to balance, you know, the desire to get out there ASAP versus, you know, obviously what's smart long term.
Yeah, I mean, this is This feels like one of the bigger weeks of the season.
You know, I was thinking about that, Eric. You're right. You know, if the Rangers go 2-4 this week, it doesn't eliminate them from the playoffs by any means. But, you know, we talk about this being a 162-game season, which it is, but it's also however many games up to the trade deadline, right? Like, that is a season in of itself, because at that point, the front office now has to make a decision. Do we buy? Do we sell? Do we kind of play the middle? Do we buy aggressively? Do we just kind of, you know, throw a couple dollars into a grab bag? Are we selling tepidly, trying to give our team a chance, but also, you know, make a smart decision long term? Do we sell aggressively, right? Like, so much can be determined. I don't know, because of how muddied the AL is, that, I mean, unless the Rangers go on a white-hot stretch or a freezing cold stretch, like, they're probably going to be within striking distance. But what if they're 2 games under and 3 games back? Like, that maybe has a different complexion. And, yeah, so I do think this is a big week. You have not shown the consistent ability to beat a weaker Astros team. Need to do that, right? And the Angels, their record's not good. They are throwing 3 good pitchers this series, Soriano, Urania, and Detmers. But, you know, their record is what it is for a reason. Those guys have been pitching all year. So you got to find a way to take advantage. I agree with you, Eric. I think this is a big week.
How bizarre, and I guess his start, we could talk about that, but like Reed Detmer's career to this point is just so high. The highs are so high and the lows are just... He throws a no-hitter, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, the Halos have themselves won.
So in 2023, I'll never forget having this conversation with Brad Miller when he was playing. 2023, you look up the box score. Rangers go to Anaheim. Reed Detmers looks like money through 3 innings. Maybe it was 2, but like 2 really impressive innings. And it, you know, we were just starting to see him. And then the Rangers wore him down, which they did a lot that year to pitchers.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting to Reed Detmers. He might not have gone through 4 in that game. I don't remember exactly. But I remember walking away from it, like, that guy is so good. And he just, once he figures it out, and I remember asking a bunch of people, like, why is he not better? Why this? And Brad Miller talked about how he's got to figure out a way to improve his fastball, because he threw high velocity, okay, but it was a very hittable pitch. And I don't know if working out of the bullpen last year helped him. I remember being like, to be honest, and he had a great year, but I remember thinking to myself, this is why the Angels are the Angels, because they take a guy like Reed Detmers and they just shove him in the bullpen when they're not competing. But maybe it helped him. Maybe that year like helped him figure some things out in a more narrow-minded set of responsibilities that have been extrapolated now back as a starter. I just think that guy is a stud, and we're starting to see that this year. He's got great stuff.
Yes.
And he's dominated. Sorry, I'm trying to avoid
coughing. You're good. You're good.
He's dominated the Rangers at times.
He's getting emotional. He's getting choked up. I understand it.
Reed Detmers.
I get it. You need some water. I got a little water here in my Z Omega.
No, I'm good. I'm sorry.
You sure?
No, man, let's go get you some Robitussin and get you ready for this game.
Hey, go give them hell.
Is that the strongest we can do? What's like the holistic thing that we do these days?
Probably whiskey?
I don't know, some type of
eucalyptus. Should I go like eat some turf or coconut husks?
No, the turf is some real grass. If you could maybe go over to Choctaw, get you some real grass.
That's you like to
you
eat
You walk
the real
over
grass.
To Dallas Stadium, get you some real grass.
Go barefoot. True. Go Dallas barefoot. Stadium.
That's how damn nice did it look in there too? Like when you went to the match, like did that grass shit? It looks freaking incredible.
Yeah, it was
TV.
Really, really cool. And it looked even better when Harry scored twice.
Oh, it did. God, Harry is a badass,
dude. He's awesome.
I loved his Mickey Mouse interview post game.
Oh
too.
My god, I was watching that.
That was amazing.
My wife was watching the match with me, and she kind of like, oh, what happened? Like she sees when I get excited. You would have thought that was like the highlight of the whole tournament. She watched the whole U.S. match with me last night, and then like 20 minutes after, she like is the game still going? I was like, I looked at her. She's like, oh, did the U.S. win?
Oh, come on. Wow.
What are you?
You've been sitting here the whole time.
Yeah, you've like heard me bitch and complain.
Well, you can tell
they did, honey.
Though.
They're moving on.
Yeah, they won.
Next Friday, I'm going to be out watching the match.
Yeah. Well, look, you can let her know that people are comparing Team USA to Texas A&M. And
oh, well, that works. She went to A&M, but she barely knows anything about A&M sports either, but... She was there in the Manziel Mike Evans era.
Really good time to be there.
Good times.
She liked it.
Thanks, bro. We appreciate it. We'll chat with you tomorrow. There you go, Jared Sandler. He's got the pregame for you at 6:30 and the call as well with the Hall of Famer that is Eric Nadell. Send Jared some wishes, man. He needs it here. Shout out to everybody who's coming by saying what's up here at the Comerica Backyard. Make sure you give DJ the DJ some love as well. DJ Pridemore making us sound good. Wolchuk, Chiafalo brought us. We got Lucius back in studio. And in fact, it's about to be Lucius's time to shout. We got G-Bag of the Day. We got LA Live coming up next on one of.
What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart. And your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicle's projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grunes. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
05-3 the fam.
All right, let's go commercial free expressway style to the top of the hour. G-Bag of the Day, LA Live, and we go commercial free courtesy of the on-time experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the fan, the Stars, the Cowboys, and the Love of the Star podcast. That's an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. We are live in the Comerica backyard at Globe Life Field, getting ready for Rangers and Angels. This is a big week for the for the Rangers, boys and girls.
Yes,
this
is
big time. What are they, 9-14 versus the AL West?
Which is weird because the division has not been very good.
No. I mean, that was the thing the last time the Angels were on the schedules. Like, thank God we can catch a breather and go handle business. And then they get swept.
They have played terribly in L.A. It's DeGrom, the last 2 years now, his starts there have been bad.
Well, they got to get it going tonight, DeGrom versus Soriano. And Jared had mentioned that Soriano hadn't been as dominant over his most recent stretch compared to earlier in the season. His ERA is a 3.42, but his last seven games, that's a 5.35. And the whip is 1.32. And the lefties are hitting 256 against them. So, of course, you have a bunch of lefties in the lineup tonight for the Rangers. And then what did you have on Wyatt Langford there earlier, Wolchuk?
Yeah, Wyatt is saying that he's going to try and get back before the All-Star break. So we'll see. I think that'll probably be to Jared's point. Like, I don't see why he told us yesterday post-All-Star break. But I'm sure Wyatt's going to push, and we'll see. I mean, maybe if they got a chance to win a series against Houston and he's good to go, maybe they'll play him. Evan Grant just said, Josh Young says his knee is much improved. Sounds like he could play on Wednesday, provided he keeps moving in the right direction. So we saw him taking a long toss out there today. He looked to be moving around okay, but not in the lineup. Maybe a pinch hitter. Who knows what happens during the game tonight, but hopefully he's back in the lineup tomorrow.
Is there any scenario where you guys would be down to rush Langford back?
No. I think you should shut it. Just leave. Wait. Well, let's wait till after the All-Star. Him and Corey Seager. Like, let's let these guys get healthy. They've been playing solid winning baseball without them. You've gotten some really good play from Nicky Lopez. Duran, we know what he's done the first half of the season. Josh Smith is back. Can he continue and stack up good series now after being a bright spot in the series loss against Detroit? I think you hold Wyatt out until post-break.
Yeah, I'm in agreement for sure, but this is a big week. You got to handle business in the division here. And if this Angels series gets away from you, that Astros series is going to loom extremely large.
Absolutely.
Before we get into the All-Star break. Now, is this one of the biggest sports regrets of all time for an individual with Von Miller coming out and talking about his decision that he made last offseason?
Yeah, Von Miller signed with Washington, we know.
Which ended up being a disaster season.
Terrible season
now,
there.
Now, to be fair,
coming into the season,
you're going, okay, Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, the Commanders got something cooking. They were just in the NFC Championship game.
But if Von was a Tolo, which he should be, he's a local DeSoto guy, he'd have known. Us here on the G-Bag Nation, it was a pop-up year.
That was just a pop-up year.
Washington does this pop-up year crap every once in a while. Give it every six or so years. Now, maybe Jaden Daniels can stay healthy and they can have a little bit more consistency there, but Von Miller says he had two choices. He could have signed in Seattle or he could have signed in Washington, and he decided to sign in Washington, and it's one of his it's a huge life regret of his.
That has to be right up there. I mean, choosing the Commanders over the Seahawks last year.
Did he say why he chose? Did he go into any detail why he chose? Did Dan Quinn recruit him? Was there any kind of thought of why he?
Well, I think he thought that Washington
was on the up.
They had the better chance to win. Yeah. I mean, Seattle this time last year.
You're not believing in Sam Darnold.
If I were to tell you Seattle, I mean, we were laughing at DeMarcus Lawrence for making that comment. Like, well, I know I'm not going to win Super Bowl in Dallas. We were like, well, you think you're going to win one in Seattle?
Proved us wrong.
Lo and behold, he did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, hindsight, of course, being 2020, but that hurts if you're Von Miller right there.
Yeah, so here was his quote. He said, for me, with the Washington Commanders, I just felt like Jaden Daniels was poised for another great season. His rookie season went all the way to the NFC Championship, and last year he got hit with injuries, not just at the quarterback position, but all over the place. All those are some of the things that you can't just you can't calculate on teams. And that's why he went to Washington over Seattle. Jake Daniels.
Could have had a chance at being a two-time Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Huh?
Could you imagine? Already a tremendous pass rush with great depth. You add Von Miller into that group with the Seattle Seahawks. Woo! Even nastier. Hey, he could maybe sign there now if they still want him.
I want the Cowboys to bring him in. That's what I want.
I wouldn't mind that at all.
Get you a little veteran juice off the edge right there.
Let's do it. Give me some juice.
Be the mentor to Malachi Lawrence. Whose
balls are juiced?
I'd get on board with that. All right, let's go into the Pimp Cup. It is time for a Tuesday edition of your G-Bag of the Day.
Yes, it is. Appreciate you, Eric. Appreciate you, fam. We do it every week on the Fan at 5:30. My name is L.A. This is fueled by East Dallas Diesel on a Tolo Truck Tuesday, huh?
What up, though?
Hey, is it Cam Colley? Cam Colley, am I saying that?
Yes, okay. Cam Colley.
All right, just make sure I'm saying his name right. He's going to come up here on our G-Bag of the Day.
Nice.
But our winner and champ of G-Bag of the Day, going for two today, is fishing. I like fishing. So does Mr. Broadus. A lot of the Tolos out there love some fishing. You send me your catches sometimes on DMs, and I do appreciate that. It makes me want to go out there and put my pole in the water. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dip that pole.
Yeah. All right.
Get
so
line wet, huh?
You know what I'm talking about. I want to see a splash a little bit. There's a dude named Kodak White on Instagram. He's not some big social media content creator.
He's not a manly man, I don't think.
He only has like 12,000 followers right now, so he's using Instagram for just using Instagram. But he caught himself a 10-pound bass, bro.
I'm envious.
A big old bass, and he was out there fishing with his buddy, Mr. J. When he caught this bass, he recorded it and put it on Instagram, and we're going to make fun of him.
Nah, I got a fish, but I don't know what kind of fish it is, though. I don't think it's a bass. No, he's still here. Oh, Mr. Tate. Grab the net, Mr. Tate. Mr. Tate. Oh, Mr. J. Oh, Mr. Mr. J. There he goes. Let's go to the temp, Mr. J. There he f***ing goes. There he goes, Mr. J.
Get him out.
Get him up.
Oh, Mr. J. Oh, look at that mouth. Look at that f***ing mouth.
Oh, man, look what my boy got. Look what my boy got. Oh, my God. Well, you're scared.
Oh, it's right here in the bag.
Oh, my God. Look at the
f***ing
eyes on that
sh-. Oh, my God, Mr. J. I don't see the scale, Mr. J.
Oh.
It's right here, Mr. J.
Oh.
Oh, my God, Mr. J. Oh, my God. Where's your phone at, Mr. J? Take a picture of that.
Don't.
Oh, this boy got a 10. This boy got a 10.
Oh, take a picture from Mr. J.
Jeez.
Yeah, turn it around.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, please turn around, Mr. J. Take that photo for me, Mr. J. Oh,
take
God.
That picture. Take that with you.
Take that picture, Mr. J.
Oh, yeah.
Jackson 5, go fishing.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That is wild right there. Come on, Mr. J. Oh, look at the mouth on him, Mr. J.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And he's directing like Diddy.
Crazy. Oh, man. Don't do that, dog. I finally got that image out of my head. Do not say that. Do not say that.
Just glistening.
Oh, he, like a glazed, honey glazed ham, dog. Images soaking wet. Like, I understand you like oil on the people that you kind of watching, but I know you had to put on oil too, bruh. It's crazy.
He's a method actor.
Get my back. Gosh. All right, so let's go to Texas Rangers shortstop and all around. I think he plays every position according to Woolchuck and Eric.
Yeah, he does.
Cam Colley. On his Rangers debut, and this is also his MLB debut, right?
Yeah.
He had a hell of a game.
He did.
And he basically found out once the game was televised, he locked in. He locked in.
Overall, from the start to the end of the game, what was your experience like in your first Major League debut?
Yeah, I mean, I just really tried to take it all in. That's what Skip told me. I mean, Rags, Jenko, the players, they all would, like, just take it in and have fun. You only do it once. So I really was just taking it in. And then as the game went on, it was like, man, screw that. I want to win this game. like, screw the debut. I'm trying to win. I didn't realize it was nationally televised either until, like, I saw ESPN signs. I don't remember who I asked. I was like, hey, are we on, like, ESPN? They were like, yeah. I was like, oh, snap. I gotta do something cool here. I got the triple scored, and then once we took the lead, I was like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I got to do something cool here.
I
love this guy so much. I need him to be a mainstay. I need him to be legit.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. I like that Peyton Gravy guy, that guy we had earlier.
The vocal fry?
The vocal fry. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I just be focusing. I don't even know what I ate. I don't know if it was fried or grilled, bro. It's just...
That was shocking. Like, how do you know what kind of shrimp? Not know. Like,
no, man.
That was amazing.
Was it grilled freaking shrimp or was it fried? Tell me it was fried. Tell me you don't know.
You just go down the buffet line and just scoop it on your plate.
F,
don't even
man.
Care.
I ate it with my eyes closed.
Do you remember that stop sign bit?
Yes.
Stop sign. Man got pulled over by a cop and...
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Let me see. Hold on.
Just tell me why you stopping me?
Yeah, I'm about to.
Huh?
I'm about to.
What?
I'm about to tell you.
Stop sign?
No. I said I'm...
What stop sign, man?
I said I'm about to tell you.
Huh? You say stop sign?
No one said stop sign but you.
Stop sign?
Stop sign? Stop sign. Well, they're still using that bit to troll people out here. There's an 18-wheeler, and he decided to troll a traffic cop. Cop was, you know, directing traffic. He had a little batons in his hands and showed, you can go this way, you can go that way, or whatever. And he did a stop sign bit on him.
Hey, officer.
What's up?
Can you tell me why you stopping me?
Because you can't fit and you'd be blocking the intersection.
Stop sign.
You see there's a stop right there? You're what? Such a huge truck, you'd be blocking the intersection.
What stop sign, man?
Oh, you no. See the cars that are stopped over there. If you go through here, You can't go nowhere because it's blocking the intersection.
Oh, I'm good now, though?
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Stop it now.
All right, thank you.
She was not. She was so pissed.
Oh, no.
No, you idiot. Your truck's too damn big.
I like how the voice got louder and louder each time the question came around. Let's go to Social Security. Not Social Security. What am I doing? Social Studies class.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Social Studies class with Mr. Fred Davis.
Uh-oh.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Fred Davis. Last night during crosstalk, he was talking about World Cup soccer stuff.
Well, I mean, I don't know if anybody knew this or not, but USA Soccer's playing tonight here in about 10, 11 minutes. In fact, I want to say we get the
anthems going off.
Is it Belgiumese? What do you call it? What's a Belgium person considered?
Is it Belgiumese, bro?
Belgiumese?
Belgiumese is crazy.
Is it Belgiumese?
Belgiumese.
He said that, yeah. He did.
Is it Belgiumese?
We should have flamed him for that real time.
He didn't even try, bro.
No.
Is it Belgiumese? What do you call it? What's a Belgium person considered?
As an Americanese man, I am offended.
Is it Belgiumese?
And it could have been just one mistake from my man, right? Not understanding what they call themselves over there. But there was another one from the weekend. Listen to this situation. You guys heard of the Rock of Gibraltar?
Sounds familiar.
Yes.
To me.
The Strait of Gibraltar?
Strait of Gibraltar, yeah.
All right, listen to this.
You get the Strait of Gibraltar. Gibraltar.
Oh,
what?
No.
You get the Strait of Gibraltar. Gibraltar.
Gibraltar.
Gibraltar.
By the Rock of Gibraltar.
Okay, Blake.
The Rock of Gibraltar.
Okay, Blake.
And by the way, Casablanca is a big
charged
movie.
I am
Monica.
Still waking up.
Gibraltar.
It happens.
It happens.
Good teammate right there, CA.
You know, when CA is the one correcting your pronunciation, though, it's probably not good.
Gibraltar.
No epidermal? That's my favorite CA line ever. Doppelgagger?
Doppelgagger.
That's
really
a good one, too.
Doppelgagger.
CA's the best.
Hey, this isn't one, but Eric, you asked yesterday, did we see any kind of ruckus from these fans? Any type of violence between each other?
Yeah.
I think I seen some Mexican fans throw us some beers.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah. So I think that's their goal celebration, though.
Yeah. Is that what that was?
Yeah, so the broadcast was talking about it's the only stadium that they've got to have somebody behind them that umbrellas to keep the beer showers from getting all over them. So whenever they score a goal, like the beer showers.
Yeah, the beer showers the most.
And they do that in bars, too, right?
They must.
Okay.
Carry over the tradition, baby.
I think I've seen this in a bar. Anyway, there's some England fans right here. After beating Mexico, they had this little chant that they were singing in this New York City bar.
Shove the tacos.
It's disgusting. You're right. Yes.
Okay.
How dare you even say this when you're from England, bro? Your food ain't even that good.
Yeah, no.
Take your f***ing tacos off your You can stick your f***ing tacos off your You can stick your f***ing tacos. Stick your f***ing tacos. Stick your f***ing tacos up your
All right.
Awesome.
No balls on you, dog.
Man, England, they're so vulgar with their chants. It's honestly incredible. They've been making fun of us. Like, I believe. And they're just like, your dad's a bleep, bleep, bleep. And we're just, I believe that we can win. It's just.
That was next level, though.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy to disrespect a taco when you put beans on toast.
True that.
Yeah, dude. Just like, that is not the right messenger for this.
No.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, is that it there, Lucius?
Yeah, let's do that.
No, keep it going.
All right, is it the one-time champ, the erotic fishing? Is it the Cam Colley built for national television on with the G-Bag Nation? You have the 18-wheeler trolling a cop, social studies with Freddie D, and not one, England fans commanding Mexico fans to shove tacos where the sun don't shine.
Woo!
Okay, wow. I think I'm going to rock with... I gotta go with Fred on this one, boys. I'm going with
Belgiumese.
Going with Fred Ward there in the Belgiumese. Yeah, Lucius, what say you?
I'm still going fishing.
Okay, tied at one, Walchuk.
I'm going Belgiumese.
Okay, 2-1. Brought
us Fred.
Okay. By a score of 3-1, and your new G-Bag of the Day champion.
I think I'm turning Belgiumese. I really think so.
He's with Freddie D. Fan After Dark, 7-11, when the Rangers do not play here on 105.3 The Fan. Let's stand the Pimp Cup, L.A. Live.
It's a Toxic Tuesday edition of L.A. Live, right after the great Rick James.
Well, all right. too fast. It's time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Yeah, where are you from in Texas?
Dallas.
Dallas. Specifically Dallas or near Dallas? Tell me the town. Garland. Okay. Waco. Oh, that is significantly different. Yeah, I'm you let her be the Texas spokesperson. You're like my town sounds like something you put on a Christmas tree, you know? Yeah, your town sounds like there's a compound there. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We know. That's were y'all born and raised in Texas? Yeah. Have you had a family member killed by an animal? Let's cut to the chase.
Oh gosh.
You have? What animal? Is a deer? Oh, that's an automobile thing?
No.
Just got in a fight with a deer? What happened?
I was hunting and the deer attacked.
They were hunting and lost. I mean, that feels fair. It does. It does.
That's a good point.
Great point, y'all.
Sometimes the animal gets you.
It happens. This is LA Live for Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. It is a Toxic Tuesday edition of LA Live. Welcome, man, fall! Shout out to the first time, last time, and long time listeners of this here station. LA Live is brought to you by Metro Flow Plumbing. Shout out to those blue collar ballers over there. We appreciate you. Fellas and Tolos, in lieu of the USA dropping the ball last night, fumbling the bag, tell me your very first sports heartbreak that you can remember. Your very first sports heartbreak that you can remember. I'm talking about the one that changed you. Changed you. The first time when you realize sports comes with hurt feelings. Give me that.
Oh, man. It was...
We all have them. We wouldn't be sports fans if we didn't have one heartbreak that we remember.
It was probably... I mean, there's a few, but I think the worst one early on was that 07 Cowboys-Giants game. And Creighton drops that ball. I mean, right. I had 25-yard line seats. I was spoiled that day. Right in front of us. The Cowboys lose. They're up. I mean, they lose 21-17. They'd beaten the crap out of the Giants both games that year by double digits, and thought that was the season we were going to the Super Bowl to play the Patriots.
Wow.
Yeah, that
I don't think I spoke for the rest of the day.
No.
Like, literally, I think I went mute.
It was just
Did you cry?
Tears.
Yeah. I sports cried a little bit.
What about when you saw Emmitt Smith in a Cardinals jersey?
That was weird. But then Roy Williams knocked him out of the game early on.
Yeah, Roy Williams. Yeah.
So we really didn't get to see that. I mean, like, the Romo fumble the year before was tough, and then the Mavs losing in the finals was tough. But I think all of that leading into that 07 season that was so magical, and them losing that game, that I really thought, okay, we're hosting the NFC Championship game if you win the next week against Green Bay, who you'd beaten early in the year.
Yeah.
Like, it just felt like it was finally our time. And yeah, that one stuck with me.
The Romo drop in Seattle is big time. The Mavericks 06 finals, and then to lose to Golden State as well, when you were the one seed losing to the 8 seed.
That was just a bad back-to-back for Cowboys and Mavs. 06, 07 was rough.
Awful, awful stretch right there.
I mean, so y'all went a long time without being heartbroken in sports. Y'all went a good run.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Our team's kind of stunk.
But I'm saying, like, you were... How old when that happened?
Sixth grade.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's about right.
Yeah.
I was 8 years old.
Yeah, you got right.
Super Bowl V, it was 1971. And it's really the first time that I remember, like, you know, the following years from that, my dad got tickets to Texas Stadium and stuff. So, you know, I started going to games, like, 8, 9 years old. But Dallas lost the Super Bowl. Dallas turned the ball over 10 times.
Jeez.
In the Super Bowl. And the Colts turned it over 5.
Dang. Sloppy.
I mean, it's crazy. Game. And it came down to a Jim O'Brien field goal.
Was that the one where you had the Chuck Howley?
Yeah. Chuck Howley was the MVP of the game on a losing team. But that was the first time I ever remember, like, damn, they just, I didn't say damn, but I'm like, gosh, they just lost. Like 16-13, it was a field goal. And this is when the goalposts were on the goal line, not back 10 yards. Yeah, that's how long ago But yeah, Jim just O'Brien.
It's so dangerous, bro. Go deep. I don't know.
There was some chaos.
How deep
back
we talking, fam?
But yeah, that was the first time I. And then a little bit later, like 10 years after that, was Dwight Clark catching the ball.
Yeah, that was that had to be
and
a painful.
San Francisco in 81.
Yeah,
those were a couple of sports cries.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah.
If you were Tolo, you probably know mine. 1995 NBA Finals.
Yep.
One of the best starting fives of all time for the Orlando Magic with Shaq, Penny, Nick Anderson, Dennis Scott, Horace Grant. They got ran out the gym by them old-ass Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler. Broke my heart, fam. Yeah. I had Penny Hardaway's shoes on, Penny Hardaway jersey. I'm magicked out, dog. I'm magicked all the way out. I got my cards with me, my Penny
great
cards.
Uniforms, too, by the way.
Fantastic uniform, especially that pinstripe joint.
That pinstripe one, man.
So
that was
nice.
Badass. Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. And my uncle whole time celebrating every time Houston scored. Oh, look at him. Oh, Olajuwon. Can't stick him. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, bro, this is hurting me. I got to step outside. But there's a viral video of a six-year-old Celtic fan, Giovanni Rubin. This boy was boo-hooing. I'm talking about snotty cries over the trade that Jaylen Brown to Philadelphia 76ers. Mm-hmm. Snotty nose cry. Listen to this kid.
You going to be happy for him and celebrate him? Yeah? What do you want to say to Jaylen Brown?
I love you so much, and you are, you mean a lot to me, and you are, and you are my favorite player in the whole NBA.
Oh, baby.
And thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done with the Celtics. Thank you.
Oh, baby. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he'll never be the same after that one, bro.
No.
Yeah, no, he'll never be the same. Yeah.
It's his favorite player.
Welcome
man.
To heartbreak.
Welcome to heartbreak, man. He'll never be the same, dog. He just caught his girl holding hands with somebody else at the playground.
Yeah.
That's what he sounded like.
100%.
Yeah. Right after that, he became a U.S. soccer fan.
He was my favorite player, and his ankles got twisted. His ankles hurt.
Oh, what am I doing?
Poor kid. Well, Giovanni got to meet Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown surprised.
Yeah.
Good for him. They surprised young Giovanni by inviting the six-year-old and his family to meet them at a special event. It was all hugs and all loves. Even got to get tickled by Jaylen. How you doing,
tickled?
Man? Yeah, got tickled. Get tickled up, man. I see you crying.
No noogies. Just tickles.
Here's some tickles.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to that kid, man. First sports heartbreak, but he had a good ending to it. He got to meet his guy. I didn't get to meet Penny Hardaway until I was a grown-ass adult.
How was that?
I kidded out a little bit. Coach. Oh, I wish I had his shoes on. I had them with me, but they were in my suitcase. But I let him know. Oh, I got your shoes in my suitcase, coach. Oh, coach, you need some help with your bags, coach? Oh, I love you, man. I've always loved you, coach. I try to cool out a little bit, but yeah, I was definitely excited to meet Penny Hardaway.
Is that the most starstruck you've ever been? With an athlete or just like a celebrity of some sort?
You know, I would say to this point, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, unless I met Jay-Z or something, yes, absolutely. Because I've admired Penny Hardaway my whole life, it felt like, you know?
Right,
just
right.
To finally see that guy just randomly. It was random.
That's pretty awesome.
Didn't you meet some lady performer, like a rapper or something like that, Lucius? Did you meet? I thought you met somebody in Vegas that you.
Oh, man, Vegas was crazy. I met a whole lot of people for those fights.
Yeah, but that's what I thought. I thought there was a lady or something, a performer that you guys met that you were like, I remember you talking about it. I can't remember the
name.
Well,
I wouldn't remember, so don't ask me.
Yeah.
Don't ask Zach anything about that.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, speaking of kids in basketball, this is not on here, but since we're bringing it up, the kids that are asking for donations for their AAU team outside of the grocery store, are they legit?
I saw it the other day.
What?
Are they legit?
This is a thing?
You haven't seen them? They walk up to you, they got like a clipboard, and there's maybe like a printout. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't believe that.
I gave a kid $20 the other day.
Me too.
Yeah.
I did too in the Kroger's parking lot. Just because like you're not robbing our cars, you're not breaking in cars and everything.
Like, hey,
at least you're trying to hustle.
Teams. Yeah, he's hustling. Okay.
But
I gave a kid $20.
Did he put your phone in book buying mode?
No, he just I handed that $20 in my wallet and I just gave it to him.
Okay.
Yeah. He sounds a little pushy.
Yeah, I do. I did too, man. But I don't know if those guys are for real or not. It kind of feels like a scam. Like, where's your jersey?
Yeah, and if you're playing AAU basketball, you probably like maybe I'm totally wrong on
this kid had good size.
I feel like you have well, yeah. Like normally, like these kids, you get some really rich people that are running these AAU things. Yeah. And even if a kid can, if he's good enough, like they're gonna cover the kid's expenses.
Sure. Right, that's what I was saying. Like, I need some team photos.
Yeah.
If you have an iPad, show me some highlights or something like that.
Did he say he played for...
I don't know, Luce. It's just like 100 degrees out there. I'm kind of handing him the 20 and walking in.
I gave him the 20, too. I said, I'll be right back for you, kid.
Yeah.
But I gave him that money.
Maybe he did a good deed, man.
$20 does a lot of good. It gets you the shrimp fried rice a little bit quicker at the hibachi thing, you know?
The extra crab cake.
The extra crab cake. You know, a $20 bill would go a long way.
Did he play for Bishop Sycamore?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All I know it was a warm day, and I handed him a 20, and I went right into the cold grocery store.
Play for Bishop Sycamore.
Yeah, it felt that's like that. It felt like that. While the men's U.S. team was melting down last night against Belgium, so was Coach JB on the timeline.
Oh. Yeah, baby. JB'll call it out.
Oh yeah, Coach JB. If you're not familiar with Coach JB. He's a Oh, come on, Broadus. You already
expert.
Know where I'm going with
He's
this.
An expert.
You know
where
I'm going with
for
this.
Sure.
He's like the runner of the cover too.
Yeah. If you're not familiar with Coach JB, he is a football coach that was featured on Netflix documentary titled Last Chance U. I think that's like for college football athletes, this is your last chance to prove last that you should be in college.
Yeah. Like Sorsby should be going to one of those schools.
Damn. Coach JB was a head coach for Independence Community College in Independence, Kansas, before he was a head coach at Compton Community College. He's from Compton, by the way.
He is.
Yeah, and he was also a head coach at a high school in Long Beach. He was also an offensive recruiting coordinator at Garden City Community College in Kansas. He's got a resume.
He's got a resume
in coaching
football.
It's not
Ohio State.
It's not Ohio State. But while watching Coach JB melt down on the timeline last night, I was thinking to myself, I got to check into what his show is going to say tomorrow. Huh. There might be something there for Toxic Tuesday. And guess what? It was. First off, I've never watched his show that long, ever in my life. And if you ever want to clear a room, turn on Coach JB.
You want to clear a room.
And your whole room will get on out of there. Everybody be so damn offended, man. First of all, his thoughts on soccer in America. He thinks we should not be playing soccer here in America anymore.
Soccer's garbage. It's the worst sport ever invented. 0-0. Great game. Shut the f*** up. I watch a bunch of idiots run around on a 3,000-yard field and do nothing. Score no points the whole game. It's the dumbest sport ever invented. Now, a lot of people be mad at me. I don't give a f*** this morning. We're shitty at it, and we should never play it unless we get our best athletes in it and unless we get into some sort of Premier League or some sort of league in those other 4 years like everybody else is, Smitty. Like all these other motherfuckers better go play with them because every 4 years, Smitty, we digress. We get, we got better. We got more athletic. We're still shitty in the soccer realm of things because we don't play like them. We're not involved in their leagues. Guess what, Smitty? Stop playing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just stop playing it since we can't get the best athletes. I've heard that argument forever and ever and ever about soccer here in America. Since we can't get the best athletes to play, stop playing it over here. That's where he started off his whole argument there, Coach JB. And he also goes off on his listeners for telling him that he doesn't know anything about soccer. But he says that he knows more about sports than most people.
So I'm giving you straight facts, not fiction, because you know nothing. You watch soccer as a fanboy. I don't. I watch soccer and actually break down the characteristics of the f***ing bodies that are able or unable to perform. That's what I do. I'm a sports psychologist, you f***ing bitch-made motherfucker. You could never talk to me about any sport, player or otherwise. F*** my soccer knowledge. I'll walk around you like a f***ing bitch does on f***ing Figueroa, you dumb f***. I will walk circles around your bitch ass when it comes to breaking down the psychology of these players.
Okay. He is just a savage.
I am just looking at the physical ability.
It sounded like a president.
Was he spilling whiskey on the whiteboard when he was doing this?
He 100% was putting his finger in that, a pinky finger in his glass and spinning that glass around a little bit. That ice in there.
With a cigar.
With a cigar in there. I got so many Coach JB cuts, but I'm going to leave it right here because I'm up against it, bro. But this man is, he knows more about sports than anybody because he knows the psychology. I'm a sports psychologist. Yeah.
He was a sports psychologist.
Built we're just fanboys, you know,
for this. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lark Willing in the Creek. Don't rise. That's my time. Y'all be safe out there. Holla.
Thank you so much. LA Live every day at 5:40-ish, as long as the Rangers don't get in the way. Speaking of the Rangers, let's go around the bases. Coming up on the other side, midseason grades and the local names you got to know for the upcoming Major League Draft. That's next on the Nation.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles, according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.